weekend. Mm-hmm. We haven't had one of these without rain since 1938. I think it's something like that.
Somewhere like that.
It kind of feels that way.
It sure can sometimes.
Kind of feels that way. And you're here. And I'll say to you why I said to the 9 o'clock gathering, I don't really mean what I'm about to say, which is untrue of everything else that we're about to say.
Fair enough. Right? But in this moment.
But I think in this moment, for those of you online, by the way, I get pictures every now and then of people who are joining us online. Some of them are you're in RVs and your campsites and stuff. And we can smell the campfire smoke on you right now because you didn't shower last night. And so, but you're here. And so here's what I was going to say. I think the real Christians show up on Memorial Day weekend. That's what I was going to say. Now, I don't really believe that, but you know what I mean. So thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part. If you're a guest with us today, I hope you follow Mario's lead there and kind of letting us know we don't spam you. But we sure love to tell you thanks for being here. We haven't met afterwards. My name's Tom. And I have the privilege of serving here with a much larger team and Mario as well. This is Mario. And so we get to teach it. By the way, kind of a special, a little, I don't even think you know this.
Uh-oh, no.
By the way, you got a new haircut.
Dude, you're all over the place.
No, for Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day cut. Yes, it is. Yeah,
I like
it. Sun's out, shaved him down. Couldn't find the number two cover, so I went with the number one. That's how that goes. You know?
That's right there,
you
baby.
You
that's
go with what you got.
All number one. Raise your hand, okay?
Come
I
on,
see more out there.
Down.
So
that's right.
And I like the design on the front, the cat thing. The cat paws.
That's a natural design. People pay for that, but mine just comes.
call those cat.
Yeah, my niece
paws
calls that the cat ears. They kind of create. I don't need to dress up for Halloween.
No.
You know,
some people can sport it, and you can.
How kind.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I have actually used a number one, even number two on my hair, but I look like a Q-tip. So I don't do it. I don't do it.
Understandable.
It don't work for me. So anyway, but what I was gonna say is, you don't even know this.
No, I don't.
So, We have in our midst right now, sitting here right now, the 2017 Lutefisk Eater.
What?
I'm telling you right now, Brandon, stand up right there. Brandon Webster right there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Turn towards the camera. Turn towards that way.
There
get a shot
is.
Of
there
Brandon
is.
Right
that
there.
Red, yes.
There you are right there.
Come on.
Right. Get a shot of him. Turn it over there. Online campus.
Oh, we got
there
minute.
You go right there. You're gone right there. So, Brennan, how many pounds did you eat? Okay, that's enough. Sit down.
No,
okay.
Did we get it? Did we get it? I hope we got it.
No, did you get it? How many pounds did you eat, brother?
3.5 pounds.
Oh. And you're still here. Wow. Oh.
You came out the winner.
You came out the winner.
You came out ahead, brother. I'm sure in many more ways. You know. So,
wow.
He told me he had a system going today. 3.5. By the way, that wasn't what time limit?
They were 5-minute rounds.
Oh yeah. I mean, how much time does a guy need to eat a lutefisk?
Yeah,
right?
A second. That's
so it's
about
like
it.
Rotten fish. Is what that
no,
is.
No, thank you.
Right there.
No, thank you.
So he tells me this morning, I did win. It was the power of the Lord.
I don't know what else can get you through.
To which
brother.
I said, no, that was not the Lord. That was not the Lord. The Lord doesn't do that.
He delivers.
He delivers. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And Brennan's marrying the director of our daycare, sitting right there, Christina. So that's awesome right there.
Good.
So that's good. Okay.
Great.
All right. So glad you're here. I hope that you're glad that you came. So how many have ever crossed a finish line? Okay, now, all of you have crossed the finish line. All of you have, okay. Because you have finished a project, right? You set out and you planted your garden this year for the first time. That's we're calling it a finish line, right? How many have crossed a finish line? All right, now, like all of us have crossed a finish line, right? You started some projects. So like if you're a knitter and you knit stuff, you started and you finished, you crossed the finish line. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guys knit too.
Sure.
And so I learned the whole thing, you know, mm-hmm. partly kind of so.
Yeah.
From my 90-year-old mother, 90. Who I was tricked into calling her 92 years old this morning.
Okay.
You never add to a woman's age, and I added to my mother's age 2 years, and she was here.
Okay.
So she knit. So she would teach us. So I got the knit, you know, the knit one, purl two thing, you know, all going
nice.
There. But Mom would start. She decided, you know, sometime after dinner, she was going to knit like a blanket, a baby blanket, for a new baby, and she would do it before she went to sleep.
She's that good.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, and I know there's others out here, too. Or they mm-hmm. create a whole dress or something, you know, like that. So you've done that. So you've had projects. I mean, it's like, you know, got 3.5 pounds of lutefisk to eat, right? There's
yep.
a finish line out there somewhere. So like that, you've crossed a finish line. And that's what we're talking about today. But because here's the deal. When you cross the finish line, when you complete a project, and what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks is that God-given vision or dream. That for some of us, we may be even nearing completion. We may have completed it. For some of us, we're in the middle. For some of us, God has laid something on our heart. We have not yet started because we're waiting for his timing. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But in all of life, really, when we have lived out our life, when we have completed something, when God's blessed us, however you want to say it, we have a decision to make. Because we're on a road. It's a why. Mm-hmm. It's like this. And this road says, I will honor what I have done. And this road says, I will honor what God has allowed me to do. There's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about that today. Crossing a finish line and asking each one of us a question. You know, which road are we going to take when we're at that why? I've done both. Now, I'll just tell you that. I've taken that road where I have thought, man, I'm pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Look what I've done. Look, you know, look at my skill, look at my talent, look at this here. And fortunately, I've discovered the other road. And this is the road I want to stay on. I know you too. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Dick Brogdon is an author that I follow very closely. And he said this, a common lie of the enemy is that success allows fudging. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You know, actually for some of us, this is going to be the most important time of today, of today's teaching, this right here. A common lie of the enemy is that success allows fudging. Now, when Dick Brogdon was talking about, he was talking about within the context of some of the Old Testament kings and so on. We see that happening where, you know, there were some good kings, and they start off right, but it wasn't long before they allowed things into their community. Like, so they would allow idol worship, they would allow intermarrying, right, and so on. Like, they were successful, but all of a sudden, they felt like that allowed them to do something else, and we see that their kingdoms were brought down.
Right.
In our context, it's equally important, but looks different. So when we enjoy the successes that God brings into our lives, and we're at that why, you know, which road we're going to choose, the enemy can sneak into our life and go, look what you did, right? Look what you did. And all of a sudden, we start down this road, and there are a number of things to call it, and one's probably coming to your mind right now. It starts with a P. Say it.
Pride.
Pride, exactly right. That's just one. Common lie of the enemy is that success allows fudging. Mm-hmm. And that fudging is, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Look at what I did.
Yeah, exactly. Look what I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than stopping and going, look, God, what you did in my life. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about all of life. We're specifically talking about those dreams and visions that Jesus has brought into our life. And as we have followed the story of Nehemiah, and if you're a Bible reader, you perhaps have read it in the book of Nehemiah, you know, kind of like, what is that, like 25% or something like that in my Bible, anyway, through there, the book of Nehemiah, specifically the first six chapters. And we get to chapter 6, verse number 15. Here's the finish line, okay? So the finish line, and this is the road that Nehemiah took. So on October 2nd, the wall was finished just 52 days after we had begun. So you get the sense, right? God really did something
right.
here.
Made some happen. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Made something happen, mm-hmm. right? And that sense that we could not have done this,
no.
right? Never in 52 days. So, like, God stepped in, mm-hmm. and we've been talking about that the last number of weeks. Mm-hmm. Just 52 days after we had begun, when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. And here it is. They realized the work had been done with the help of God. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. They realized that what just happened was by the hand of God. Mm-hmm. This road over here. So easy to kind of slip into this self-honor road, away from the God-honoring road. What road are you on today in your life? One that honors God, thanking Him for even the small things in your life, and for sure the things and dreams and visions that He's brought into your life, or have you fudged a little bit, and you go, ooh, yeah, I did that pretty well. Mm-hmm. Did that pretty well. When what we need to know and realize, it was at the hand of God that He's allowed us even to live our life and to breathe. Mm-hmm. We honor God for all that He has allowed us to do and to become. Here's our big idea for today. It's in your book. Many of you have the next book and so on. It's hard, right? For some, slow down. Everybody say slow down.
Slow down.
Is that hard for you? Mm-hmm. Hard for me. Let Him lead and give thanks. Hard for me because slow down was never part of my DNA. Mm-hmm. It's my mother's fault. She's 90, okay. It was, everything was, I was just raised like, you just get it done now, mm-hmm. right? And so I told my kids, I am. So when I tell you to do something, it's not I'll do that, I am doing it, that type of thing, you know. So slowing down for me is really difficult, and we'll talk about that in just a second, but mm-hmm. We're going to slow down. Let God lead. We're not going to get out ahead. And then we're going to take the God-honoring road, and we're going to give Him thanks.
Mm-hmm. And that really comes from that place of keeping our eyes fixed on God. If we're going to honor Him, we have our eyes on Him. See, in letting Him lead, Nehemiah trusted God and followed His plan. And that's what we see throughout the Nehemiah story, is this intensity, this intentionality on God. It's like, everything that's happening, I'm going to focus on God. In the midst of the struggle, when things were tough for Nehemiah, he focused on God. When things were going well, he focused on God. There's this intentionality in his life to do that. Back in Nehemiah chapter 1, it says this: the people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring, you notice who it says? In honoring you. And get to the why, and there's a sense that I'm not going to honor myself. I want you to know we are delighting in you, Lord. That's where the focus is. God is the one who leads, and their heart was for Him. And so in Nehemiah, as we've just taken time, there's so much that we can learn from Nehemiah. There's things that we've been able to pull. One of them is that Nehemiah's, his perspective on life, on circumstances, on all that was going on, his perspective, it was correct. In the way that he went about things.
Yeah, it's easy to lose perspective, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how so?
Well, we just find ourselves wrapped up in our own stuff, mm-hmm. especially when things are difficult.
Yeah.
It's really easy to find ourselves in a place where we're going through it, it's difficult, we can't see beyond what's going on. And as a result, we get stuck in what's going on, it's easy to become isolated, and we end up really finding ourselves being destroyed and missing out on the vision. But when we're able to pull ourselves out, as Nehemiah did so often, as he just went and took a look around and noticed the wall and noticed what was going on, he's able to gain a perspective that there's a bigger picture going on than simply what was happening in that moment. God was up to something.
Yeah, I think it's really good. There's the bigger picture going. And I think, some of us kind of fall into this. If things are going right in my life, then my perspective of God is one way. Mm-hmm. He's a good God. He's a good father. We sing that song. Mm-hmm. But if things are going bad in my life, then where is God?
Yeah.
And our perspective is askew. Mm-hmm. When God's in every moment of our life, and maybe that moment that you're in right now, that's one of difficulty, and challenge. Your perspective needs to be like, this is God. God is there. Mm-hmm. He is there. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. So we slow down, mm-hmm. let Him lead, mm-hmm. and give Him thanks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, his perspective was correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And so it's easy to, I don't know about you, but I try to remember that when I'm reading here, it's just not words. So it's easy to kind of read the words, isn't it? And kind of lose, you know, what's behind there, the emotion, and lose what they were living in. I mean, they had enemies, they had people coming against them, right? So easy to lose perspective, and so important that he did. The other thing is his heart was focused, never didn't stray. His heart was focused. So I see a lot of things going on, a lot. At any time, at any moment, I can see all kind. Now, don't think I'm nuts or anything. I don't mean like literally, but there's a lot of things that just fly into my mind. You know what I mean? So this whole focus thing is really important to me, right? Some of you focus really easily. Like if you're in the Word like this, and someone walks up behind you, you don't even know that they're there, right? How many are like that? Yes, there's a few of you like that. God bless you. You know, how many of us are like, what do you want? You know, I mean, like that, or there's things flying all over the place, you know? And it's difficult to focus sometimes, isn't it? It is. I think it's a discipline that God develops in each one of us, but his heart was focused. And there are so many things that are coming against us today that want to draw us this way or that way, pull our hearts away. I have a breath prayer that is just triggered by digital sounds. So when I hear digital sounds, just a way for me to abide in Jesus all day, because I hear digital sounds. Literally, I hear digital sounds all day. We all do. And my breath prayer is, Lord, you're in all and over all, everywhere, every time. And so it's just a breath prayer I lift up to him. You know, a ding goes off or a phone rings. And if I'm in a room and phones are dinging, just, you know, well, a lot of breath prayers going up in that moment. My wife's breath prayer, Jen's breath prayer, is really about focus. And her breath prayer is, Lord, keep me focused in complete trust in you. I like that.
Yeah.
Keep me focused in complete trust in you. It's so important.
He was obedient, too. Yeah. When we look at Nehemiah's life, and there's just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to choose to do his own thing. But he chose to be obedient. And I know there's places in life where we're trying to figure out what's the right move. But then there's some times where God makes it clear, this is the thing you're supposed to do. And he was obedient to those things. And the things that he wasn't sure about, he took the time, as we talked about, to pray about that and say, God, what is it that you have in store? So he chose to live this life of obedience. And obedience can be really difficult, especially when there's an opportunity to fudge.
Yeah, exactly.
But still to choose a way of obedience, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. And so shared a quote a few weeks ago, and it's this: obedience is now, understanding is later. Obedience is now. He calls us to act in obedience now when we hear his voice. Understanding is later. Problem is, a lot of us wait for the understanding. So God, when I understand the path that you're leading me in, then I'll walk in obedience. And that's not biblical obedience at all, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, for those parents, you got two boys, I got two boys. Mine are older,
a little bit.
But how many have discovered, if you're a parent or you parented any child or you've been the caretaker of a child, that obedience is not natural to kids?
There's the understatement.
It's like you can tell them something good, and it's like, why?
Yep.
Obedience just doesn't seem to come natural. And I think that's the way we are with the Lord sometimes, isn't it? So no matter how old we are or how long we've been walking this pathway, obedience sometimes doesn't feel like it's natural. There's something in us that always wants to resist that. So we're to walk in obedience. Obedience now, understanding later. That's a good thing to remember. Then he was honest with his life and his place in life. There's this prayer guide that we've talked about last number of years. It's one that I personally use called ACTS, and many of you do too. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I'm going to share a passage with you in just a moment out of Nehemiah, and I think you're going to see all of those things there, but you're going to see confession. Now, whenever we talk about confession, the very first thing that comes to our mind is like, what did I do wrong, right?
Right. Let me get it out there. I did something wrong.
Yeah, so we confess a sin. We're confessing sin. And confession is confessing sin. It's also confessing who God is and that we need him. That's confession as well. Nehemiah confesses his sin here, but you're going to see confession of who God is and who Jesus is as well. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning with verse number 5 and reading through verse number 7. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, that's both adoration and confession. God, you're an awesome God, and you keep your covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. Here I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Confession. Confession happens when we respond to the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And that still small voice that we hear, and some of us may even be hearing right now, it may be a confession of some terrible sin that we've committed in our life, and we need to confess that to him. He calls us to confession. It may be confessing, God, I've tried to take over my life. You know, I've taken this road instead of this road. I've taken the road of self-honor instead of the road of God-honoring, of honoring you. And I confess that I have done that. God, I confess I've depended upon myself and my own resources. I've confessed this. So someone's saying, and it begins with responding to the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. I've said it a lot of times, and I think we'll keep on saying it. In this area of obedience and conviction, we push away from it. You've heard me say it, because it doesn't feel good, and we don't want to obey because we're humans and all of that kind of stuff. But we're to embrace that, because that's God speaking to you and speaking to me and saying there's something between us that's not allowing us the relationship I've designed for you. And so Nehemiah here, in his honesty, said, look, we've sinned terribly, and my family sinned terribly, and so I confess to you. Here's the cool thing. Asking for forgiveness can be difficult at times, but it's always right, and it begins to lay the foundation for what God wants to do in us.
In that ability to take that time to pray, to even come to a place to recognize the confession that's needed, what we see in Nehemiah is that he waited, and then he took action. An ability to be able to be in a spot to offer confession, there's a need to be able to slow down, to wait, and then see what takes place. But that is, I mean, you think about the world we live in, that is so difficult. I mean, it's like we often treat God like Amazon. I mean, you know, click now, and the one click now, and God's got it all taken care of, right? And for those of you who are truly super spiritual, you have Prime. You know, it's like that's you truly made it. And if God doesn't deliver the package in 2 days, oh baby, you know, something's wrong, right?
Yep.
But that's not the way that God works. And we don't see, what we see with Nehemiah is this willingness to slow down, to pray. Yes, there's planning, but there's this place of praying. We need to listen to the people of the Psalms. There's this part of the Bible that's called the wisdom literature. And they spell out so well about this idea of what it means to pray, to wait, to hear from the Lord. I just wanted to offer some of them to you this morning. In Psalm 37, it says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. And here it is. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. Proverbs 16 says, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. And Proverbs 19 says, you can make many plans, but haven't we found this to be true? But the Lord's purpose will prevail. In Proverbs 19, it also says this, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then they get angry at the Lord. Yeah. Have you noticed that to be true? It's like we do foolish stuff, and then we blame God. And so there's this need for us to slow down and wait and hear the voice of the Lord before we choose to make a move. It's so important that we learn what it means to wait on the Lord.
Yeah, so what do you think, like, wait, who has trouble with patience? We all raise our hand, okay, most of us. So why do you think that's so hard?
Why is it
waiting
so
and patience,
hard?
Yeah. Because, like, yeah. I don't know, my, you know, we've worked together a long time, so I think you're better at waiting than I am.
I'll receive that.
Oh, you're okay. Brother, don't you receive it if it's not true.
Oh, well.
You confess it right now. So.
I just choose to, you know, okay. Know my place. Yes.
Okay, okay. So well, why do you think it's so hard?
Usually because I think we want something now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want it. We want it. And there's if we can have it, then we will feel more secure, more fulfilled. And waiting on the Lord requires trust. And
yeah.
That is risky.
Yeah, so when you said that Amazon thing, and you said that two-day thing, it's like if it's not one day for me, I'm like, well, I paid for this. What's going on? You know. So
I hear you.
I know. That's all.
I hear you.
I do. I think we kind of we're in that culture, aren't we? We want it now. So, you know, you go through the drive-up window for coffee because we want it now. We don't want to walk in and get it, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know.
It's just the way things are.
It's the way people are. Well, Nehemiah, and I encourage you, you, if you've never read the Old Testament or and you don't think it applies today, first of all, it does. Second of all, go find the book of Nehemiah, okay, and read that story. Read the story that we've been walking through the last number of weeks. Nehemiah had people around him. He didn't do this thing alone. He didn't do it alone. I want to say this. If you're doing life alone, if you're walking alone, I believe that you're walking in disobedience to the Lord. Because I don't think it's designed you or me to live alone and to do it alone. He's called us into community to do this thing together. And you may go, well, that's really strong. I'm still a Christian. Well, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm just telling you, I think that we're walking out of obedience if we're not connected to other people. Because, I mean, the scripture is replete with commands to love one another and to pray for one another. We can go on and on and on. And Nehemiah didn't do this thing alone. He had people around him. And there's another story in the Old Testament where Moses and the people of Israel were up against a huge battle, right? And they were being attacked. And Moses draws up this plan. It's in Exodus. You can read in Exodus chapter 17. Moses draws up this plan, and he tells to his partner, I was thinking about you and me on this whole thing, you know, just so kind of what took place, because Moses says to Joshua, here's what I want you to choose some really good men, and you go to battle, and I'm going to go pray. So I thought, which one would you take, you know, the battle or the prayer, you know? We all know that prayer is absolutely vital and really needed.
Absolutely.
Right, so, okay, so you choose a bunch of people, and you head out there, and I'm going to go pray. And that's exactly what happened. So, right, so Moses climbs this hill, and they can see the battle, obviously, from the story. They can see the battle was taking place. And Moses lifts his hands to the Lord, and he prays, and he discovers something, right? So as long as his arms are up, they win.
Right.
But if he gets tired and his arms drop, they lose.
Right.
So they had to see this to discover it. Arms up, hey, we're winning. Arms down, we're losing. So Aaron and Hur, two guys, right, decided that they would hold his arms up, and they did, and the battle was won.
Yeah.
Well, Nehemiah had key people around him like that. Brings us to a really important question, and it's linked to what I just said. Who are the Aaron and Hurs in your life? Who are the people that you're doing life with? Who's in your circle? Who have you allowed in to help you live out this plan for your life that God has given to you, whatever it looks like? If we live in isolation, I'm going to say it again, if we live in isolation, I believe that we're walking in disobedience to the Lord. I have people in my life. I have some guys that I allow to speak into my life. I meet with them. I talk with them. They're mentors to me. We all need it regardless of where we are in our journey with Jesus. We do. We need it. And that's why we talk about getting into a discipleship group, mm-hmm. moving from rows to circles, because it's in that environment that we begin to help one another live this life out.
Absolutely. The ability to move beyond just seeing the back of people's heads to starting to see faces makes such a huge difference. And just the stories that end up happening as a result of that, of people saying, you know what, I would never be involved in being in a discipleship relationship. And as they take that risk, all of a sudden they're starting to grow in their relationship. And the beautiful thing of support that starts to take place. I know in my group it's so cool to see people starting to, not just me being the person who's praying for everyone, but people in the group are starting to support each other. How can we pray for one another? Someone unprompted in the group just came up and said, hey, can I bring the food for the group this morning? It's these little things throughout life where we're learning together about what it means to support one another, to pray for one another, to lift each other up when we're hurting, to be there for each other in the moments that are most difficult. That's the kind of culture that we want to have in group, but outside of it. As a faith community, that's what we were called to be. See, God is a relational God, and he calls us into those relationships and out of isolation. Mm-hmm. And so I want us to remember this as we kind of wrap up this series around next, to remember that when we take action in God's timing, we honor him. When we take action in God's timing, we honor him. Honoring God with everything we do is the heartbeat of a believer. We say, God, just with every heartbeat, what is it that you want me to do? How can I be about the things that matter to your heart? That's the heartbeat we're meant to have. And when we are patient, we honor him with wisdom. And when we take action in his timing, we honor him.
Yeah, so three questions as we kind of wrap up. As we live in the opportunity and in the purpose that God has given to each one of us, and let me say this, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, or how long you've been in the faith. You have purpose in life. God has given you purpose mm-hmm. in life, and we're to fulfill that purpose. Mm-hmm. What is it? What opportunity has he brought us into? But kind of three questions that we're going to pray. Number one, do we have trouble waiting for God? How many of us, just think, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have trouble waiting for God? Mm-hmm. We're out ahead of his plan even right now. And when we're there, we're not walking in obedience to him. We need to come back. Say, God, I'm going to wait on you. And doesn't humanly feel good? Doesn't humanly feel right? But it is right because we're walking in obedience to him. God will show us the way. Mm-hmm. This is some of the passages that you read. So do we have trouble waiting for God? Here's the moment for honesty when I lead you in prayer. God, I have trouble with that. Mm-hmm. So I lift that up to you. Number two, do you need to come before God as Nehemiah did and ask for forgiveness? Is there something that Jesus is speaking to you about right now, some area in your life? There may be unconfessed sin in your life that God's speaking to you about right now. That confession may be like you keep taking the self road and not the God road, and you need to back up and go this way. That may be part of your confession. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is this, for us to contemplate a thankful heart, and what does that mean for you? Man, we should all be thankful. We're breathing.
Yeah.
We ought to be thankful for the next breath of air that we have, that we get to do this thing. I think I shared it. If I did, you know, just forget about it, I guess. But I was with another team in our county, faith team, and speaking there one morning, and I said, "Do you realize that we all God has allowed us to do what we're doing? We get to do this life." What if we, with a thankful heart, approach all of life that way, no matter how difficult? God, I get to do this. I get to live this life out for you. Whatever it might look like from the outside to others, I get to do this for you. And then I'd like to go, Nick, let's go back to that Brogdon quote up here. I'd like to put that up, and we're going to pray. Some of us have fudged. Some of us have fudged. And we have allowed other things into our life, right? We have enjoyed success. And what happens is when we've enjoyed success, we tend to drift, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. The psalmist, that's a prayer the psalmist has. God, don't let me drift. Don't let me drift. We've enjoyed success in life, and we've drifted away from our prayer time, our Bible. Mm-hmm. We've drifted. We've fudged in a lot of areas. And I would just like to lead you in prayer for that. Then Mario's going to lead us in prayer. If you've never crossed the line of faith, if you're here, you're online this morning, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you have really, really drifted over here, now's your time to confess and say, Lord, I am yours. I trust in you. You can just stay seated right there. I'm just going to lead us. I'm going to invite you to join me this morning and join Mario as we pray together. Can we do that?
Yeah.
So even with open hands, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. God, I thank you for what we get to do, that we get to live out this life for you. And life is difficult sometimes, and there is no one of us that would say that isn't true. Life is difficult sometimes, but even in the difficult moments, we get to trust you. We get to believe in you. We get to step out in faith, Lord, knowing that you lead us and that you guide us each day of our life. And it's with thankful hearts, Lord, that we live today. We need to confess to you. There are some of us this morning sitting here. God, you're speaking to us. We have unconfessed sin. And so we need to just confess that, God, forgive me. Forgive us. And thankful that when we pray that prayer, God, you do. You forgive us. Some of us, our confession is we've taken a self road instead of the God road. We've been at that Y, and we took the self-honoring direction road. God, we confess that to you today. It's all about you. It's what you have done, what you have allowed us to do. Some of us, God, you've granted us success, and in our success, we have fudged. We haven't been thankful as we should. We haven't confessed that this is you, not us. Father, we have allowed pride to come in. And in this moment, God, we come right back to, this is about you. And as we live out this life, we see your kingdom grow and your kingdom expand, Lord, because it's you living in us and you living through us in Jesus' name.
In this room and online, I just want to invite you, if you're in a place that you join me in prayer, maybe you're here and you're just saying, God, I need you. My confession is I don't have a relationship with you. I've gone against you for most of my life, and I'm here today. I didn't even know that this is what you would be leading me to, but in this moment, Lord, I don't have all the right words, but I do have a heart that longs to have you be Lord and Savior of my life. So right now, God, we're asking for that. Would you be my God and be my Savior? I confess my sin. I confess my need for you, and I give this life to you. And Lord, I pray for an exchange here in this moment that you would put your spirit within me, make me alive in this moment, and cleanse me from within. I choose you. I choose life, and I give you thanks, Lord, that you do that in this moment. Lord, some of us are in this place, and it just feels like we've drifted so far away from you. This moment, Lord, we want to come back to you. We want to choose your ways and not our own. God, as a faith community, help us to be one that chooses you in your ways, that moves towards you, that has our eyes, our focus on you, that you would do what it is you want to do in us and through us. We thank you, God, for the life that you are offering, spiritual rebirth in our hearts and lives here and now. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, if